some problems that can damage, even destroy, a New Testament church. Now, I'm only going to deal with six this morning. There are so many more. But it is so necessary that I deal with this. Because as I speak to you at this time, their church is being destroyed. Seriously damaged by these problems. You're not immune. No church is immune. In the New Testament, because we're going to be referring to some scriptures here that were written to New Testament churches that were dealing with these problems. So this goes back for 2,000 years. It's important that then we take the Word of God seriously for the sake of the New Testament church, which is not looked up to and not esteemed as highly as it should be today. It's a very important organization. It's the only one of its kind. The only one of its kind. We can trace its history back to God who became man 2,000 years ago and walked the dusty streets of what's sometimes called Palestine or the Holy Land and died on the cross to save us as lost sinners from our sins. Goes all the way back. So it's important. And if you've got a car and you want to save money, I guarantee you that you think of how you can keep from destroying that car or how you can make that car last longer. If you don't, you're foolish. You better come awake and start thinking about it. Because a dollar in your pocket's worth as much as a dollar in that car dealer's pocket down there that you'll have to pay for a new one. So if you think about that and try to prevent it, you want to think the same thing you possibly can about a New Testament church. How to prevent problems, because you know, preventing problems is very important, folks. They tell us prevention for our health is important better than going to the doctor after we've got something, if we can keep from having it. Well, the same thing is true when it comes to the New Testament church. Prevention. What is it? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I believe that's what the old proverb goes like, sounds like. So that's what we're interested in this morning. So first of all, problem number one. Lack of spiritual growth. Now, that's really a problem for the New Testament church, but it's so quiet. It's, if I might use my illustration, it's like rust. It's a problem that affects you, but it does it quietly, and it does it so easily that you don't understand and don't realize many times that it's doing its work. For instance, I want us to listen. I have this marked. You may jot this down for the sake of time, because I can keep my thoughts running if I just move, and if I have to stop while you hunt it up, that breaks your concentration, it breaks my concentration, and then we have to get back on the track again, and so we're both having troubles, okay? So, from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14, if you'll read that sometimes, it reads like this. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Now this was written to a New Testament church. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you ought to know enough, you ought to be mature enough, you ought to have developed enough. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. See, they had been taught before some things that let them slip. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Go back to the ABCs. You're rusty on them. And you are become such as have need of milk. You're just like someone who has once been on milk as a baby, has gone up to solid food. Now we have to take you back again to the milk of the Word. You can't handle the stronger words. You should be developing. There should be truths that you can grapple with now and things that you can do and understand that you couldn't understand before. But you can't do it. We've got to give you milk. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Unskillful in the word of righteousness. Get that? For he is a babe. That's in the scripture. For he is a babe, or she is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them which that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern, tell the difference between good and evil. Now, dear people, this morning, this is a rebuke from the Holy Spirit through the writer of Hebrews, whom I believe is Paul. The New Testament churches, not just the one that got this, but for all time since then, about the need for spiritual growth and about the terrible damage that it can do to a New Testament church. I don't have time to spend this morning on the reason why this happens, but most of the time it's because people simply do not put much in store by their responsibilities as church members. They don't put much in store and much value upon learning the Word of God and developing themselves skillfully in the use of the Word of God so that they might be able to go forward as mature adults. There are some people sitting in churches that are no more spiritually grown than they were when they were first saved, and that was 30, 40 years ago.
Amen.
Now, here you see, folks, that God is not satisfied with that. That God is not happy with that. That God actually says for the preacher to preach and teach the Word, but He says you have a responsibility, and that is you have a responsibility to put forth an effort to learn it, to remember it, so that you can advance, because the Word, remember, is like going 1 through 12 in school. Each thing sets you up for the next thing, that you may continue to grow. That you might, it is the church, folks, not the preacher. He's only a part of it. It is the church that's supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth. The whole church. What's one of the great weaknesses of New Testament churches today? That's one of them right there. Sit for years under the best preaching and teaching and that you can have, and not know any more than if you'd sat under the most ignorant preacher that ever lived. That's a shame and a disgrace. And the Lord notices what you taught and what you have the opportunity to benefit from and how much you benefit from it and how much effort you put forth as members of His church. And He expects you to grow and expects churches to grow. But dear people, this is something that you'll find common among New Testament churches all over the world, I guess. But it's a sad thing. And it weakens. And it hinders. And it becomes a stumbling block to New Testament churches because they can't be the light in the community. They can't be the pillar and ground of truth that God intends for them to be. This church can't be that either. Well, we want to come and go through the motions and go home. That's not what we're here for.
Amen.
That's not what we're here for. How many times have you told your child when they were studying in school, you better pay attention. You better learn. You're going to need that someday. The same truth goes for God's truth.
Amen.
Same truth goes for the New Testament church. Keep that in mind, will you please? All right, let's look at the second thing that can damage or even destroy a New Testament. It can destroy a church because it lays you wide open. Lack of spiritual growth. You know how children are. Anybody can lead them off. Anybody can lead them astray. You have to watch over them. They have to have somebody over them. They're not strong enough to be turned loose. You don't turn them loose with your car. You don't turn them loose with your gun. Now just take that and flip it over to the spiritual realm. You'll see how important it is for God's churches to grow. Now, let's go to the second thing. Second thing is divisions. Now, I've often jokingly said, I know that the Baptist church is not the only church, you know, that has divisions. I know that. But I've often said one of the things that lets me know that these New Testament churches were Baptist is because of such as 1 Corinthians. Man, there was a church that was full of divisions. It had more cracks in it than a dry ground whenever you haven't had rain in a long time. They had all kinds of problems. And that's why, as I said before, my preacher friend, I told him that, Brother Montgomery, I said, I can't understand why in the world whoever named this church dared name it Corinth. But fellow, when we were naming this church, if fellow said Corinth, I'd have just said, what in the world is wrong with you? But I thought about them and I thought, well, they're probably the only people in the world that ever named a church Corinth. But I was wrong. I found some more. Don't ask me why they chose that name. I think of Corinth, I think of trouble. They had plenty of it. I mean, it just seemed like it was one to the other to the other. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 17, they had some trouble with divisions. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 through 17, and it said, Paul says to him, he's writing about it, says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. They weren't. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, I've been told, someone has written me, by them which are of the house of Chloe. Now somebody said Chloe was gossiping. No, Chloe was interested in the welfare of that church. And they wrote the old apostles if they couldn't get some help. So he said, it's been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. There are quarrels. Trouble. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I have Cephas, and I have Christ. In other words, you're all divided, you all got somebody you're claiming you're following. Now they were one church. That's a strange thing, isn't it? All right, listen. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Now, the only one of those they're supposed to have been following was Christ.
Amen.
Now, he said, I want to ask you something. He's talking about himself. He said, was Paul crucified for you? Did I die on the cross for you? Now, they thought they'd make some point for Paul. They said they were of Paul, no doubt. He wasn't happy with it. He said, I didn't die for you. Paul wanted them to become more Christ-like. He wanted them folks to become more than what he was. To become Christ-like is more than to become greater than the preacher. They weren't. And he said, listen, were you baptized in the name of Paul? The answer was, of course, no. He said, I thank God. Listen to this. But I baptized none of you. But Crispus and Gaius. I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you, really. Somebody else did. There's a couple of you. Lest any should say, I have baptized in my own name. And he said, and I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Now, here's something I'm going to point out just by way of calling your attention to it. If baptism is such a salvation, how could Apostle Paul say he's glad he didn't baptize some of them folks?
Amen. That's true.
We have to keep that in mind as we read that. But let's move on because I'm not covering that subject this time. For Christ sent me not to baptize. If baptism is such a salvation, that doesn't make sense there, does it? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That's where salvation comes, because the gospel tells you about it. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for your sins on the cross. Not with wisdom of words. I'm not to figure out how I can manipulate you with words or wow you with words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He said, I can't. I don't want you trusting in knowledge, big words, and impressive words. I want you to simply trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want the cross of Christ to mean something to you. Now, he's dealing with him about divisions. And he goes on down to say to them, with these divisions, they say something for you. You brag about being a great church. But these divisions show that God initiated you, sir. You're carnal. You're like a bunch of kids. You're like a bunch of children. You're just yin-yang all the time. That's all going on. You show that you haven't grown. You show that you're letting things come in that shouldn't be. Paul had taught them. They should have known better. He's not happy. He's not pleased. They have not. This lapsed over just like number one. They have not progressed as he wanted to progress. And they weren't just having divisions over this. They were having divisions over the issue of tongues. They were having issues right and left. As we shall see later, they should have been concerned about the immorality that was going on in them. But they weren't. They were too busy with their little carnal, fleshly arguments and divisions. Folks have been churches been destroyed for the simplest and most foolish of things. Most foolish of things. I guess the most foolish I've ever heard of, even though I pastored one that was destroyed for almost, or damaged for almost this much foolishness. Most foolish I ever heard of was altar plates. I heard of a church who decided to buy some new altar plates. And it was a choice between, as you well know, of course nowadays it's plastic too, you got to, but it's a choice between metal and wood. Now anybody think that the main issue was just to have some place to put the money in? I mean, and I assume that this was a Baptist church. I think it was, if I remember correctly. And so they got ready to buy them. And so this one said, well, I tell you what, I like those wooden ones. How about you? Turned to somebody. Well, I like them too. Those that I don't, I want the metal ones. Now, see, you got a division. You know what you learn from that? Pastor gets up and said, we need some new offering plates. All in favor of it? Yay or nay? And go get the offering plates. Because I'm going to ask Ola which one you like. She said, I like the metal ones. I'll ask Steffi, she liked the wooden ones. You got church split. Somebody said, well, the church didn't have a say, so it's a good thing. It's probably still going to last longer. I'm talking about when you're talking about members of the church deciding on things. If you can come before a church with everything laid out and ask the church to approve what's there, you come out a whole lot better. It's just like taking a kid to the candy store and walking up to the candy counter and saying, what do you want? You're going to be there a while. And before it's over with, if you don't watch it, sometimes there may be an exception, you're going to decide what to get anyway. So it's left up to them to buy the whole counter. And if you got two of them, it gets worse. And so as it goes, this thing about the offering plate, it got worse and worse and worse. And after a while, it gets to the place to where it was battle time. And they just got down and said, well, I just tell you, we ought not to go any farther. Let's just disband the church. And just quit. Another said, well, that's all right with me. You see, that meant that the people who wanted the metal weren't going to get the metal. And that meant that the people who wanted the wood weren't going to get the wood. And that meant there wouldn't be any church. Now, I wouldn't want to be in those fellow's shoes one day. You see? Because I don't care if it's a foot tub. I don't care if you go down to Kentucky Fried Chicken and buy your order of chicken and bring the bucket back, sit it up here. That's better just so we need something. In fact, I'll take that back. We have to cover that up because you set it up here about time. It's getting lunchtime. Nobody will be paying attention to my sermon. But we still take that bucket and cover it over, right? Now, those are the kind of foolish things. Foolish things. What's the answer to those kind of things? Well, many times it's just follow the leader. Follow the leader. I was pastoring a church one time. We were trying to get a piano. So I came before the church, and I went out and I looked at the piano, and I came before the church, and I said, I recommend this piano. Well, there was a little lady in the church who said she wanted the other piano. Well, I said, I think this is a good one here. And I thought I was faster, you know. And come to find out that she thought that the church owed her the obligation to pay me no mind and to follow her, because the church owed her. All I had was obey them that have the rule over you in the scripture. But she had her word that said, the church holds me. And it caused a problem in the church, big problem. Nobody bothered to consult the scripture. Nobody bothered. Sides were chosen up. People who had made professions of faith and just started out to be taught the word were scattered all over the place as a result of that trouble. But that lady is going to pay one of these days. She's going to answer God. And so the people that followed her. Because, dear people, there isn't anybody else in the New Testament church empowered to lead the flock but the preacher.
Amen.
And you follow him and give him the benefit of the doubt, unless it's very plain that he is doing that which is contrary to the scripture. For you don't have anything else to work on. That's the scripture. But dear people, that's the kind of thing we talk about. It's divisions. 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 I mean, today, if we were to get enough money that we could buy and relocate again, I doubt if the church would survive the choice. I sometimes think, wouldn't it be wonderful if God would just bless us with enough money to move up on the highway, and then the thought comes, it might not make it, son. Because you know they're all not going to want the same spot. And you know that one's going to say, well, I've done a whole lot for the church, and they kind of owe me. Another said, I charge a member. Well, everybody's going to have a reason why. Well, why don't we just look at the study, and why don't we just check the situation out and then say to the pastor, preacher, you leader of the flock, what do you think? And the pastor ought to be able to give enough reason there that if it's a good choice, the church follows. For the sake of what? Unity. Unity. Because here's what happens. Miss Smooth Mouth gets her way. Miss Rough Mouth is going to want the next one. I pastored a church, the same one I had the problems in, and they had this on their minds. Well, it'll all be like this. The preacher has his say-so one time, and the next time the church has its say-so. Like, all of them were going to all agree on the same sign, same thing when it came their time. It hadn't. And it wasn't. Who ever heard of swapping? The pastor leads as the shepherd of the flock one time, and then the sheep lead the shepherd the next time. That seems to be equitable. May seem to be equitable, but it's not scriptural.
Amen.
Now, I believe the church ought to have a say-so, and I believe that they ought to have the say-so to vote it down if they want to. I'm not questioning that. I just believe they should be careful about why they're voting it down and why they're rebelling against the leadership of the pastor, because they are going to have to answer to God. And when you find that, most of the time you'll find there's somebody else leading that church. So after my experience there, I said, I'm determined that I will not let a good woman be ruined in the church I pastor by having her way. And I'm determined that I'll not have a man be ruined by thinking that he's got to have his way. I don't care how much money he has. How important it is. I'm just going to try to pastor the church and lead it as best I can according to the word of the Lord. And that's the way it's going to be. I don't want to call it a dictator. That's because there's a dictator in there who wants the job as fast as God.
Amen.
So where I heard that word the most, I had a whole bunch of them in there, and there's several of them wanted to be the dictator. Watch that group. Oh, I'll tell you what, there's some folks that if they hear this message, they'll be tearing their dresses up, making rope out of it to hang me with. And then there's others that will be doing the same thing, swearing that not even, I never pastored a church where you're swearing that somebody told me about them. So, you can't, William. You just go ahead and put it out there. You just go ahead and let it go. Because, folks, what I said, I mean. There are preachers that get way out of line. That's why you always leave the authority to hire and fire. A fellow said to me the other day about a preacher in his town, said he's got it fixed up to where you can't fire him. I said, really? He said, yep. And he said, he's going to be there. There was no way to get rid of him. I didn't ask how he did that. I've heard of preachers doing that. I said, well, I'm going to tell you one thing about Victory. Victory can fire me tonight. There's not a thing in the world to prevent it. I never had anything written into anything, no way whatsoever, to keep me as pastor. That's the way it is. No way whatsoever. Now, dear people, tonight, or today, as I speak to you about divisions, that's something that God's people ought to not cause unless it's absolutely necessary. And I mean, it's a real, sound, biblical principle, and it's very, very important. Because when you destroy a church, you've done something.
Amen.
You've done something. You've messed with them. That's not yours. You didn't die for it. You didn't die for it. I've been a member of a church before since I've been a pastor. I never caused that church pastor any trouble. And I was a pastor too at one time, but I wasn't a pastor there. There was another man there was already pastoring. You see? And man, I've had pastors, you know, didn't know they were pastors. I've had preachers didn't know they were pastors. They wanted to help me pastor. I learned real quick. I didn't need any assistance. Because they didn't know what assistance job was. They didn't know it was to assist and not run. They were to follow. I've been in pastors. Listen, go back and look at my pastors. Check my pastors. There's not a one of them. I'll tell you, that man tried to, he caused me all kinds of problems. Many years ago, I was in, as I told you, Mississippi preaching. There was a young preacher over there in one of those places, and two churches were after him. And I was preaching a revival, and so the one I was preaching a revival to, they got him. His wife to play a piano and sing. As I told you before, he wrecked that church. He caused so much trouble, he split that church. I felt so bad about that. It wasn't my fault. But they got him. And he didn't know what he was supposed to do. Because I know his pastor. His pastor was a fine man. Straight, God-fearing man. But he got in there and he couldn't tell the difference, I'm sure, between being a sheep and being a shepherd. That's sad. It caused divisions. It caused trouble in that church. It took a lot of hard work to get it as far as it's gone. Wasn't necessary. I can say that because I know the pastor. It's a sad situation. Divisions that are not necessary. Little old things that people are just seem to be looking for a reason to cause problems. Now there are people today that could not become a member of this church and me still remain pastor. I look them right in the eye and I say, I'm glad you want to come a member, but it'd be better you find you another church. You say, why? Trouble. I think they wrote a hillbilly song that says, here comes trouble again. Uh-oh, here comes trouble. You say, how do you know that there's trouble? Well, because everybody else knows there's trouble.
Amen.
I was talking to some former church members the other day, and not former church members. I was talking to somebody in this town the other day, and they talked to me about some former church members, and they said, I smiled and said, they're lots of trouble, aren't they? I kind of think that let me know I was right. Now, in all honesty, they can't become members of this church as long as I'm pastor. See? You say, well, they won't want to. Well, that's fine. We're both going to be happy and die laughing. What am I talking about? Divisions, foolish divisions, selfish divisions, where people don't understand that Christ died for the church. It's His church.
Amen.
But be careful about how we destroy what belongs to Him. Now, disobedience to the Great Commission for evangelism and missions. That's the third thing. And I've got to hurry along here because I've missed some time. In Luke, the Gospel of Luke, we read there in chapter 24, verse 46 through 48. And said unto them, Jesus said this, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. See, carry the gospel to all the world. That's the Great Commission. You start in Jerusalem and you go out from there, the Scripture says. You have a command to be evangelistic as a church and to be missionary as a church. It's not a request. It's a command. And yet there are many churches today, folks, are doing absolutely nothing about reaching the lost. Absolutely nothing. It's not that we start the church and the people are supposed to come to it. It's that we start the church and we go out there and we try to reach them and get them to come. We carry the gospel to them so they'll come. We carry it to them. We got radio today. We carry it to them that way. Got the money to carry it to them by television. Carry it to them with the gospel tracts. Carry it to them by word of mouth. But that's it. We're supposed to be carrying the gospel to the lost. I want my family saved. Am I carrying the gospel to anybody else, or am I only concerned about my family? Dear people, there's a lot of need today for Christians to get burdened about lost people.
Amen.
Burdened enough that it puts your feet on the ground and gets you to walk it. Gets you to carry the gospel. If you can't talk, take them a tract. Hand it to them. God bless it. You'll be doing what the Lord says. Support missionaries. Carry the gospel overseas. One of these days they'll be sending all the missionaries from overseas to America so they convert us.
Amen.
The way it looks today, what's going on? I've heard this. Well, they know where we are. That's not what the Bible said. Which Bible have you got? He said, go. Go out there where they are. Go out there where they are. The church says, we can't get them to come. Well, you just give them the gospel and leave the rest to the Lord. Well, they said, we've got to put them on some stuff here to entertain them so they'll come. And the Lord didn't say do that.
Amen.
The Lord didn't say do that. But people have lost their burden for lost souls. I can remember when I started preaching many years ago, folks used to weep over their lost loved ones. See? Folks used to carry a heavy burden. You wouldn't talk long with them before that's the first thing you hear them say. Some old gray-haired mother would say, I got a son, he's lost. I got a daughter, she's lost. Oh, that bothers me so much, preacher. I wish you'd pray for her. I used to have people that old Dale call me and say, I got a loved one down here at the hospital lost. Would you go down there? I didn't even know them. The people I was going to see. And would you talk to him? I met some of the people for the first time. Talk to them about Jesus Christ. People care. You're getting people away nowadays. Their schedule is so busy. That's why I depend so much on gospel tracts, because you can leave them and go on. And then when they get time, they can read it. There used to be a difference. You used to preach. And you used to have, people would be down at the front, would be full of people praying for lost people. Children praying for lost mamas and daddies. Brothers and sisters praying for lost brothers and sisters. Aunts and uncles praying for nieces and nephews. Grandma and grandpa praying for their grandchildren. Or grandchildren praying for the grandpa and grandma. Man, it was all kind of a mixture. Broken hearted. Concerned. A burden for Christ. For people to know Christ. It's missing today. Get more excited over an appendectomy. Get more excited over a pulling a tooth. having a root canal than to do somebody in the family going to hell.
Amen.
I'm not kidding you. I've been around.
Amen.
I know what I see. I watch. I weigh. I listen. I know that. But folks will do a whole lot more for a person that's got some kind of physical disability than they will a spiritual need like being saved.
Amen.
That's a shame. We got the cart ahead of the horse. We got things. Priorities are wrong. One shouldn't cancel out the other. That's why sometimes we have a lot to cry about when we go to the funeral. We did such a sorry job of witnessing because we didn't want to offend them. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Well, that's all right. They're better off now. What? They're better off now. They're in hell. They're better off. No, they're not. Well, you must have thought they were. That's it. What are we doing? Or you say, well, you know, Brother Gordon, people nowadays, they won't come to hear the word. Listen, that's not your problem. God didn't ask you what you thought about that.
Amen.
He told you what to do. He told me what to do. All we got to do is follow orders. That's it. Follow orders. All right, so losing that burden for souls. And time's flashing fast here. I'll try to get through. Might have to cut my message short. Then there's false teachers and false preachers. They'll damage and destroy New Testament churches. And they're all around. And boy, with the television on nowadays, it just seems like that they have all the money sometimes. Man, I tell you right now, everywhere you look, false teaching, false doctrine, false preaching. Galatians 1, 6 and 9, the Apostle Paul says, I marvel he wrote to these churches in Galatia. Galatians 1, 6 and 9. He's having trouble right then with New Testament churches and false doctrine. He's still alive. Listen, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. You people are really getting off. You're really getting away from the truth, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You know what he's telling these people? Some preachers. That's leading you away from the pure gospel. And let them be accursed. They're guilty of that. Let them be accursed. I understand that. Say, let them go to hell for judgment if that they continue to do that. That's it. Listen, dear people. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He did it twice. Because Sister Do-Gooder wouldn't believe it just one time. She said, I know they're not true according to the Bible, but you're not ought to be that strong against them. Really? Really? You know how serious the problem is? Do you know that the Holy Spirit calls Paul to write that, let him be accursed, let him be accursed twice in here? Twice, so Paul was not speaking what Paul thought in the heat of anger. He's speaking what God said.
Amen.
About false preachers getting in among his churches and destroying them and preaching false doctrine and tearing them up. That's what God said. Some people are so good they're better than God. That's terrible, isn't it?
Amen.
Wouldn't want to be in a church like that, feel completely out of place. Never got that good yet. Don't know what they do with me. I'd get in the way. All right, let me hurry along. The next thing here is worldliness. Boy, that's in churches today, isn't it? Oh, Brother John, the Holy Spirit through John had something to say about that. We've got about enough time to cover this. And one more quickly, if I'll do it quickly. 2:15-17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Worldliness. My goodness gracious. My wife and I were on, I was on the computer last night. And I was on this website. And I listened to a preacher, and I looked right at the corner, and there was somebody in the corner that up there getting ready to sing. So I just snapped up there, and I figured this was not the same church that I was looking at, but it was up there on the corner. I don't know whether they put it on it or not, I can't say. Snapped over there, and there's two little girls standing there getting ready to sing a special. And they look like, what, 13, 14, old? Getting ready to sing a special. Beautiful song. Thing is, they had a top on, and they forgot the skirt. Standing there right there in the church with a dress on that went right here. Both of them. Standing there like they were dressed all the way from head to foot. Sang a beautiful song. And I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. I said, I don't know whether it was that church's website that put that on there or whether somebody else put that on there, but I'd get that off of there one way or the other. I wouldn't want two little girls that were half dressed. Their underwear was not far away. And they stood there and sang, and you know, with all that kind of stuff going on, there was somebody shouting, trying to shout. You say, what was your impression? Big mouth people didn't have any convictions.
Amen.
You know, what do you mean? Just what I said.
Amen.
Big mouth people didn't have any convictions. Don't you shout with two little girls standing up there, teenagers, that are dressed in an ungodly, blasphemous way. God doesn't want what they've got to sing about. He wants them, first of all, to learn how to have personal godliness.
Amen.
Where's the preacher?
Amen.
Where's their daddy? Where's their mother? Preacher ought not have to say anything to your girl anyway.
Amen.
What God gave them to you for. But sometimes it has to happen. How worldly are the churches today? It's embarrassing. Well, got one more point and I'll squeeze this in. Sexual sin. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 7. Let's look at that. Because, boy, this is a big problem in the churches today. Yes, sir. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 7. This is a big, big old problem in New Testament churches today. And it's a sad thing, but it's there. 1 Corinthians 5. Paul says it is reported commonly. Commonly. It's common knowledge. That there's fornication among you. That's sex outside of marriage. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, even the unsaved have got better morals than y'all got. That one should have his father's wife. Wait a minute, there's one of them was married, but there was one of them that wasn't. I take this to be a stepson. And so he just took up with his father's new wife. Now, if this doesn't sound just like Oakdale, I'll pay for lying.
Amen.
Just like it.
Amen.
And get this. He's still going to church. Still a member. Of Cardiff. Not card. Yep, card. Card. These people are spoken tongues. Super duper. Super duper Christians. Couldn't even handle immorality.
Amen.
Listen. Have his father's wife. And he said this. You're puffed up. What? You proud bunch. You think you're a great church. You're puffed up and you have not rather more. You ought to be crying. What? About that kind of stuff.
Amen.
That he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. He, evidently the woman was saved. His stepmother, well, he was. She was committing adultery. He's committing fornication. Some men say it's adultery both ways. But I followed it strictly fornication. I realize there's some room there for interpretation. But he said, y'all going right on just like there's nothing happening. Now I know it sounds like Oakdale churches. Sounds like a lot of Oakdale churches. Why don't you get rid of them? That's not love. You mean God quit loving people? And you're the only one left that loves like you're supposed to. This is the Apostle Paul writing by the Holy Spirit saying, that man ought not to be allowed to remain a member of your church. My church. Let it put it, Jesus' church.
Amen.
He's not living like a saved man. He doesn't meet the requirements for church membership. Search me. We got his name on the roll and all we want to count.
Amen. Praise God.
That's the way it goes today, folks. That's the way it goes. How many y'all got? Oh, we only got 20 or 25. Oh, we got 250. How many y'all have last Sunday? We had 25. Yeah, we got them all over the place. We got some dead. That's the only one that don't give us in trouble. Once they're dead. See? Oh, listen, said. For he said, I verily, as absent in body, as present in spirit, I'm not there with you, but if I'm present in spirit, have judged already. Oh, judge not that you be not judged. There goes that. Boom. With the scripture. Grandma just swallowed her false teeth because she'd been preaching it. As though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. I've already done some judging about this dude. Have some witnesses to back him up. He's guilty. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that means by his authority. That means this is what Jesus wants done. When you're gathered together, that means come together as a church. And my spirit's going to be there with you. With the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Turn him over. Let God chastise him. Get him straightened out. Let God deal with him as a child, because if he doesn't deal with him as a child of his, he doesn't belong to him.
Amen.
He'll go to hell. He said, your glorying's not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveth the whole lump? He says, purge out therefore the old leaven. Put this leaven, put this kind of stuff out, this sin and this wickedness, that you may have a new lump. As ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover sacrificed for us. In other words, he said, this thing is affecting the whole church. The whole church stands leavened. The whole church stands in sin before God. With this kind of stuff going on. Now, dear people, that's written in the Word of the Lord. You see? That's written in the Word of the Lord. Somebody said, well, they're supposed to go talk to that fellow. Where does it say that that church had an obligation to go talk to this man before they turned him out? Well, you say over there in Matthew, go back over in Matthew and read. It's talking about two people in the church having disagreement with one another, getting them together. People say, we can't put them out of church because we can't catch them. We can't find them. We don't know where they are. We just know that they're not married and they're living together and they're still members. So we got to wait till we can catch them. Oh, wake up. Wake up.
Amen.
Preachers, get the car to the head of the horse too. Well, I'm going to have to stop. Some problems that can damage, even destroy, a New Testament church.